Today's reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, beginning at verse 19, and we're reading all the way to the end. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." And a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God.
I'm handing over to Steve now, but before I do that, let me pray for him.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gift of scripture to us, and this is a familiar story of doubting Thomas. We ask that you'll be with Steve now as he opens up this passage to us and help us to learn something new about your plans for us. Amen.
Amen.
Children, for any children, if you want to come and sit in front of me, you can help me answer some questions and unlock this passage together. Meanwhile, good morning, everyone. Really nice to see you. And today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the cross and the familiar story of doubting Thomas. Let's see what all that means. Hi guys, come and have a sit down. It's quite nice. It's a soft carpet, very thick ply. Well, we've got a couple, that's great. So guys, here's a question for you. How easy is it to believe in something that you can't see? It's not all that easy. So, I mean, if I said to you the moon is in the sky every night, you can look at it and see it and believe that the moon appears. But if you can't see it, it's not so easy, is it? And that's true for us adults as well, isn't it? Here's an example for you. There's something that our body needs regularly, and we take it in something like, on average, 22,000 times a day. So that's every 5 or 6 seconds. So by the time I finish this talk, you will have done it about 150 times. And for the clever of you, that'll mean about 10 minutes. Nick always wants to know, how long are you going to talk for? About 10 minutes. What is it that we take into our bodies so regularly? Do we know what it might be? It's not an easy question. Any adults know? Oxygen, and it's all around us. You know, you could say, oh, there it is, look, Well, you can't see it. So why do we believe it? Why do we believe that oxygen exists? I'll throw this to the adults. Like, why do we believe it? Yeah, you'd fall over dead if it didn't, wouldn't you? Yes, that's true. And that's true, isn't it? We see the effects of it, that it gives us life. But we also believe it because experts tell us it exists. And in the laboratory, they can separate it out and show us it. Well, they can't show us it, but they can. Or perhaps they can, I don't know. But we believe in what people tell us, and we believe in the effects of it. Here's another one. What's happened? All the lights have gone out. What would make the lights come back on? What is it?
Electricity.
That's right. We'll put them back on, and there they come on. Can we see electricity?
No.
No. Do we believe in it? Yes. Because we see it. Exactly. We see the effects of it. And also, there are experts that can show us electricity. I think they have. I've seen a picture of it where there's a bit of a thing between two big other things. Stop me if I'm getting too technical. But yes, we believe in electricity, though we can't see it because of people telling us it exists, but also the effects of it. What about this one? If I jump up, I keep coming down again. Why don't I stay up there and float around?
Gravity.
Gravity. Well done, you. That was the toughest question of all, and you got it right. That's right. It's a force that keeps us anchored onto the earth. What? But can we see gravity? No, we can't. But we believe it because of the effects and because people tell us that it exists.
And people tell us that it exists.
Yeah.
And also gives us life.
Exactly. And they can sort of demonstrate it in some way. But why are we talking about this? Well, it's because Jesus Christ is alive. He rose from the dead, and yet we don't see him. So how do we believe that Jesus actually does exist and is alive?
Because people tell us.
Exactly, people tell
people
us.
People tell us. The Bible tells us.
The Bible tells us. Brilliant. And what have I got here? The Bible.
The Bible.
And we also see the effects of Jesus in our lives too. But we'll stick first with the evidence, the proof. And the people that tell us record it all in here. And in John's Gospel, we've had it read to us.
By my favourite mummy ever.
Yes.
Well, there's plenty of it got, if I'm in trouble, but
your favourite mummy, how many have you got? So, John's Gospel, chapter 20. And adults, do read it. I'd love it if you read it again, because what John is wanting to show us is the different responses of those people who encounter the risen Jesus on that first day. The first one is Mary Magdalene. And she goes to the tomb and it's empty. And she is totally bewildered. What does she do? She runs and tells two of the disciples, Peter and one other. So they rush to the tomb.
You mean actually and, the second disciple?
Yes, it's the disciple that Jesus loved. So we're not sure who it was. But so Peter and another disciple, they go and they get there and they both go into the tomb eventually and see just strips of linen. And it tells us that the disciple that Jesus loved believed straight away. But what do? They rush back to the other disciples. And then Jesus appears to the other disciples and he shows them his hands and his side and they're overjoyed. But there's one disciple missing, and that's Thomas, also known as Didymus, the twin.
Didymus,
yes, a good tongue twister, Didymus. And he wasn't there. And you might wonder, why is this account of Thomas here? Because actually it shows a bit of doubt. You know, he's lived with these disciples for 3 years. He's seen everything that they've done, everything that Jesus has done. They tell him that Jesus has risen, he doesn't believe them. And so we could say, well, why should we believe it? Thomas was there all the time. Why does he not believe what the disciples are saying? And it perhaps gives us a bit of a get out. And say, well, if he didn't believe it, why should I believe it? But you see, that's missing the whole point, because this isn't actually about Thomas. It's about the response. And it's the response that we all had, isn't it? Well, why should I believe in a Jesus that I can't see? It's very hard to believe in anything I can't see. So why should I believe these disciples? So if I had the chance, I would have done exactly what Thomas did. And I would have said, well, I'm not sure I believe it. Unless I see it myself, I'm not sure I'm going to believe it. So really what Thomas has done, he's stepped in our shoes and done it for us. And so we should be eternally grateful for Thomas to check it out. And Jesus gracefully appears to him. Now, here's the great thing. Jesus doesn't tell him off or tut-tut at Thomas. He doesn't say, ooh, Thomas, you've let us down here, mate. I mean, that's going to be recorded now. We're in the spot of... No, Jesus doesn't do that. He welcomes it. And says, Thomas, look, put your finger where the holes are in my hand and put your hand in where my side is. And Thomas then believes and falls to his knees and says, my Lord, my God. That's the greatest acknowledgement of Jesus is up until that point. Thomas is rewarded even greater because he had doubt, but then met the living Jesus and believed. And we do the same thing. We meet Jesus through Scripture and through what the testimony of the disciples. And that's why it's written here. And it says at the end, these things are written that you may believe, and that Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life. So we believe in an invisible Jesus because of what people tell us. And it's been tried and tested by Thomas on our behalf. It's like doubly secured. It's belt and braces. Yes, we can definitely believe.
And the effects.
And now the effects. That is just brilliant, this. It's like, you're a prompt.
Maybe I should do children's
bodies. You could do a children. You do it better than I do. Shall we ask Nick, how many times have you breathed in so far? Just see how long I've got left. Oh, don't forget to breathe out, Nick.
Can I take over what's the children?
So, the effects. What effects does the living Jesus have on our lives? It completely transforms our lives through the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of Jesus. Here's a little story for you. When I came to believe in Jesus, along with my wife Wendy, when I was in my late 30s, early 40s. By then we'd got two children who were in their early teens. And it was many years later that my daughter said to me, Dad, you've no idea the difference in you and Mum when you became Christians. You changed. And we hadn't really recognised that change, but they saw it in us straight away. And I asked more about that change, and it was all good stuff, I'm pleased to say. That reflected the change in my life that Jesus brought about, and in Wendy's as well. The effects that we have is that we are now a church family. We are God's people. We are united in Jesus Christ. And perhaps now, more than any time, we need to be united in the thing that unites us together, which is Jesus Christ, crucified and risen and alive, rather than the things that might divide us. Let's stick together to the things that we truly believe in. That way, as a church, we will stick together and we will grow. But what do we do about this knowledge as well? It's interesting to think, well, yeah, it's good that we recognise that Jesus is alive. What do we do with that knowledge ourselves? And throughout this passage, the people who find out about Jesus go and tell others. And actually, Jesus says to Mary, she says, go to my brothers and tell them. Tell them about me. And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. I've seen the Lord. And she told them. He told them that the things that he'd said to her. And we have this information, as we've said earlier, that is revealed to us through these scriptures. Not to keep to ourselves, but to tell others too. And that's the greatest thing that we can do, is pass on the gift of life to other people. And so let's pray that hearts are softened this Easter time, and that people will want to know more about Jesus Christ. Yeah. The Bible, yeah, the effects of Jesus Christ on our lives.
I know everything.
The Bible is crammed full of evidence of God and of Jesus. Here's something from Romans. For ever since the world was created, people have sinned the earth and sky through everything God has made. they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. And we have no excuse for not knowing Jesus, because all we have to do is say, Jesus, come into my life. And he will come through the Holy Spirit and transform us. Let me pray as we just ponder on the wonder of those things.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for Jesus Christ, who came to die on a cross, but then rose again, appeared to many people. We thank you for Thomas, who doubted and asked for proof and received proof graciously through Christ, so that we too can believe that he's done it for us. He's given us more proof if ever we needed it. We pray, Father, that we're able to bring that good news to others. Pray that you would bring us before people who desperately need to know. That you give us the courage and the words to use to introduce Jesus into other people's lives, so that he can work his magic on them as well and bring them to everlasting glory. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.
Amen.
And I thank you too, you guys, for helping me out. You've been fantastic. We can go back to your places now. Thank you.